We're going to have a song and then the show will start. I'm sorry, but I know that was Brother James turning pages. I knew it was you.
You're right, sis. I know. And I apologize also. You know you got me. You got me dead to right, as they say.
Yes, I know. That was you with the noise. I always know. Okay, we're going to get started. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our gift and our divine reminder, and I miss and I greet all of you, the listening audience, those of you who are listening by telephone, and those of you who have so kindly joined us this Sunday evening in the chat room and my distinguished panel, and our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right, okay. Well, everybody knows that this Sunday's broadcast is always hosted by our beloved brother, Vernon Muhammad, out of Columbia, Maryland. However, Brother Vernon has a distinct honor in being on the security detail for Minister Farrakhan this evening. So certainly nothing takes precedence over that. So I am here on his behalf, and he didn't give me anything to talk about. He just says, "Sister, you got to do my show," and I'm like, "Okay." So here I am. And what came to mind, what Allah put in my spirit, was just, you know, I listen to the minister every week as he brings us the time and what must be done, and he's talking about the fall of America, so to speak, and how Babylon is falling. And so, you know, I just wanted to address some issues that are so, so very vital to our survival. And the first thing I want to address is communication, because I don't want people to think for one moment that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is speaking exclusively to Muslims. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan makes it very clear that he is speaking to everyone in the world, including white people. So we have a responsibility having these teachings, believing in these teachings, and practicing these teachings. We have the responsibility to deliver them in the context in which they are being given to us. So oftentimes what I run into, especially on Facebook and social media, as well as in our communities, that sometimes we have a persona about us that excludes other, you know, religious beliefs or other cultures, so to speak. Yes, as an FOI and as an MGT, you are supposed to stand out. But standing out and standing back are two very different things. And
that's
so
right.
In the art of fishing for our people, we have to master the language. Well, what did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad mean when he said master the language? Not necessarily the language as in how we enunciate or how we comprehend, but also how we allow others to comprehend, how well we deliver what we are saying. And are we talking to people on a level or in a context that they can really, really comprehend and feel inclusive? And I'm going to read this quote that was by George Clason. He wrote the book called The Richest Man in Babylon. He says that our acts can be no wiser than our thoughts, and our thinking can be no wiser than our understanding. So we have a responsibility that when we say something on behalf of the messenger or of the minister, we have a responsibility that we first understand that message before we carry it on to other people. And you know, I just want to talk about the communication, because we have these teachings, and it does no good if we don't know how to deliver them, and it does no good if we want to keep it in a particular circle, so to speak, whether it's our community or whether it's just our mosque. I mean, because, you know, if you're talking to another believer, you're preaching to the choir. You know, if you're too afraid to reach out to the gangbangers or reach out to the hoochie mamas, then it's all for naught. And so I want to, right now, before we start this conversation, I want to introduce my very distinguished panel, and my brothers, all of them, I think, may have asked me, why did I pick them? So I'm gonna let them introduce themselves, and then I'm going to tell them why I picked them. So I'm going to start with our beloved brother, Eric X. Sullivan. Come down front and center, soldier. Introduce yourself and tell us a little bit something about you.
Assalamu alaikum, sister. And everybody that's
alaikum
listening.
Alaikum salam.
All praise be due to Allah. I want to say I appreciate being a part of this conversation, and I appreciate having this discussion and being involved. So my name is Eric Sullivan. I'm originally from Peoria, Illinois. I was recently incarcerated, just got out December 18th. And I'm really motivated to become a part of the nation and be a part of the nation. I'm doing the best that I can to spread the word and be a fisher of men, to bring people in to the understanding of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because they really are life-giving teaching. And they transformed me in my life when I was in a life of life that was contrary to the will of Allah. And it was the teachings that I learned from a minister, Roy Muhammad, in Peoria, Illinois, and who actually was started by a brother, Marlon X. Ferguson, who is also in Peoria, Illinois. He began the thought process in me and transformed my life from the life of the streets and the thug life, and brought me into the understanding of who I am, and gave me knowledge of self, gave me message to the black man that was life-changing in itself, as everybody, I'm sure, will understand. And I've fallen off and come back. Right now I feel like the prodigal son who left home and left his father and went to the ways of the wicked and then came back and was welcomed with open arms. And I feel like I'm being welcomed with open arms from all the brothers and sisters in the nation. And and it's all praise due to Allah for all the beautiful gifts and blessings that have been bestowed upon me and in my return. So that's my story.
Well, thank you, Brother Eric. And Brother Eric, I picked you because Allah loves you and so do I. And I picked you because you my brother, and I picked you because I know you one of my listeners, and I appreciate each and every one of you for supporting me. So in that, I have to also support and uplift you, my brother. So we all have something to offer. Allah saw fit to give you life, and we just want to share a part of it. So that's why you're here. All right?
I'll pray to Allah.
Okay. And my next beloved brother, Brother Eddie X. Stallings, come down front and center, soldier. Introduce yourself. Brother Eddie, are you there?
Yes, thank you. Sorry, I had my phone on mute. I didn't want to interrupt the brother. But in the name of Allah, the Messenger, the Most Holy, I bear witness, there is no God but Allah. The Muhammad is his messenger. As our sister said, my name is Brother Eddie X. Here in the city of Augusta, Georgia, the study group here. I've been raised in the teaching of the nation since I was approximately 2 years old. My father joined the nation, and my mother, consequently. And it was not until very recently, in the last couple of years, that I myself felt the call to come up and take on the responsibility of this mission myself. You know, it's one thing to grow up in a thing, is it another thing entirely for Allah to put on your heart the direct relationship with that responsibility, you know. And I actually feel where Brother Eric is coming from. Well, the Holy Quran says, Allah speaking, I gave you life, I caused you to die, and then I returned you to life, that you may be grateful. You know, when he causes us to die, it is for a purpose, and then he brings us back to life that we may know him, and know death, that we may actually know life. So,
beautiful.
Now that I know this life, now that I can feel alive by Allah's permission, I'm compelled beyond feeling, I'm compelled beyond emotion, I'm compelled beyond any thought of my own to continue to do it and to feel that urge to do it, because this is the only path that we have. And I don't really have much qualification, I would say myself, but I believe that this is the only path our people have, and if that's a good enough qualification, then I'll take it.
Yes, sir.
And I love our nation, I love our people, you know. So, you know, Minister Farrakhan said once, he said, to take this on, you have to be two things. You have to be crazy or chosen. If not chosen, I'll take crazy.
Very, very beautifully put, brother. Very beautifully put.
But it's a pleasure and honor to be here, and an honor to have a chance to speak with believers, esteemed, you know, the best is the best of our people, those who've chosen to believe that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the exalted Christ. Minister Farrakhan of the Divine Reminder, and I miss, so I am equally grateful to have this opportunity.
And thank you so much, Brother Eddie. And I see you online all the time. And I chose you because you're my brother, and I wanted you to be here.
I think that's a good enough reason. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And, you know, and really, for all of you, really, because I don't know any of you personally. I've never met you or Brother Muhammad Shabazz or Brother Eric. I know Brother Eric listens to the show, but all of you have something to offer, and every individual is so very dear and precious. And I tell all my Facebook friends and all the listening audience, you know, eventually I'm going to come and get you, because I believe everybody has something to offer. So as long as Allah allows me to continue on, eventually I will get to all 1,400 of my Facebook friends. So just be waiting in the wings for me to come and reach for you, because, of course, we all have something to offer. And come on down, Brother Damian Muhammad Shabazz. Introduce yourself, beloved.
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you very much, sister, for inviting me. I was very surprised and almost like, wow, what am I going to say? But I'm glad to be here amongst family. And and I'm ready to get right to it. Whatever it is you have to ask of me, I will be very grateful to be a part. And I just want to also say that I think that when the other brothers have opened up and shared themselves with us, the total here, you know, we've mentioned in brief, what Islam has taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his Divine Reminder and I Miss Today, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, has done for them, has done for us. And I can say what Islam has done for me. I can tell you, you know, right now that, you know, if the Minister Farrakhan did not stand up, I wouldn't be here. I'd probably be 6 feet under.
That's right.
Go ahead, brother.
That's right.
He didn't stand up, and he did, you know. And I think I'd be six feet under right now. And I first heard him when I was on a aircraft carrier in the Mediterranean Sea. There were some brothers that had tapes and books, and that's when I woke up. And that was in 1990.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah.
All praise to Allah. Yes, sir. All right, and I have one more brother who is, oh, my goodness, I don't know what to say about this man. This man is so, so very passionate about these teachings, and he is a brother's brother, and he is a sister's brother, and he is a devoted father and overly devoted grandfather and loving husband, but most of all, to me, he is my brother. He is my friend. He is my minister. He gets on me when I mess up, but it's all out of love. And he is also the host of our Friday night study group, Put On the New Man, Student Minister James Muhammad from Tampa, Florida. Assalamu alaikum. So to introduce yourself to the panel and present yourself to the others who are listening.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Gidget, for your glowing introduction. Unbeknownst to all of you, whenever I'm down, I call Sister Gidget and ask her to introduce me so that I can get up again. Because her words are so uplifting. I'm joking. But in reality, you know, it's a wonderful relationship that we are developing. We never met each other personally, but we're getting to know each other through, of course, our communication via the show. But it's much, much deeper than that. We are of a kindred spirit in more ways than one. And I count it one of the great blessings of Allah conferred upon me that our paths have crossed. And her expression of my passion, it that's true. And I love to preach the word. I am, by God's grace, by Allah's grace and the minister's permission, a student in the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I'm so passionate that she didn't choose me. I called and threatened her so that I could be on this show.
Go ahead. You're going to put me on this show.
I mean, the truth is the light. I listened to you brothers in your opening remarks, and I feel a spirit emanating from all of you, and the beauty of humility exudes a spirit that is so wonderful that I really hope that I can reflect that in my expression tonight and from here on. I love the spirit of humility. I love to see it in others. It serves as an example of where I should be, how I should be, and what I am striving to be. So may Allah continue to bless all of you, brothers, and of course my sister. And I'm honored to share this panel with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum
salam. See, I told y'all he was passionate, but I forgot to tell y'all he was also mushy.
That's true.
Unlike the rest of our shows, this is not a 2-hour show. This is an hour and a half show. So we have a very short time. We're going to get into our topic. And like I opened up with communication, and if you would, I'm going to ask Student Minister James to kind of, if you would, explain to us the importance of, you know, taking what we learn, taking what we read, comprehending it, and also delivering that message to our people. How vital is that? You know, because I don't think that a lot of people are really taking the time and what must be done seriously. And so by the instructions of the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, we are certainly trying to get the message out, but we want to reach more than just our own. So can you expound on that, about the importance of the communication in getting this message out?
Absolutely. I'll be very, very brief and to the point by the grace of Allah. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan referred to us, those of us who are following him, as messengers of the message. And as he, as the messenger, had the responsibility of delivering the message clearly and to all, that the wicked and both the righteous may be properly warned, so that the responsibility and the consequences of whether they hear or forbear will not be on his hands. And therefore, we have in context that same responsibility to communicate this message to our people. And in doing so, we must remember the teachings given to us by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the Supreme Wisdom, wherein he stated that we must speak the language well. We have to speak in past, present, and future perfect tense. And so therefore, we cannot impose our language coming from our discipline or our dogmatic adherence to our religious ritual. We can't impose that necessarily on the people we're trying to reach. The scripture so clearly gives us an example in Paul, where he stated, when I was in Rome, I spoke as the Romans. And when he was in other places, he spoke the language of those inhabitants of that particular area of the world. It doesn't necessarily mean that he commanded mastery of the phonetics or of the actual body of the language, but the principles that the language articulated, he spoke. He adhered to the universal principles of truth that run throughout every faith expression. And I'll just relate to you a very brief instruction. It wasn't brief when it was given to me, but I'm going to try to make it brief. When I was blessed to be chosen to become the minister in Tampa, Florida in 1991, I was sitting with the most honorable Minister Farrakhan, and he was giving me instructions. And he said, "Brother," he said, "don't use my name." And I, of course, in my mind, I didn't say it out loud, but in my mind, I said, "What?" He said, and he said, "and don't use the name Muhammad." Now I'm really, you know, very curious, because that's exactly what I intended to do, lift it up everywhere I possibly could and whenever I could. He said, "Brother, they're not familiar necessarily with those names. They're not familiar with Muhammad." He said, "use the name of Jesus. It's the same thing." And then he gave me a parable. He said, "picture yourself at a bus station. And at the bus station, you have areas where the bus that's departing for Washington, people are lining up there to board that bus." And he said, "there's an area where people are lined up to go to Detroit." He said, "now, you know that all of them need to go to Detroit, but they've already purchased their ticket for Washington. So what will you do? Will you run around like a maniac?" He didn't say maniac. I'm using that word. But he said, "run around trying to get them to come over to the area where the bus for Detroit is departing after they have paid their hard-earned money for a ticket to go to Washington." He said, "no, no, you don't do that." He said, "you get on the bus that is departing for Detroit and change the destination to Washington." And then he said, "and then when they all get on the bus thinking they're going to Washington, you change it back to Detroit and take them where you know they need to go." And that was great, great, great wisdom. He was saying, in fact, speak the language of the people. Principles are greater than phonetics. Principles are greater than ritual. Principles are greater than physical manifestations of manner and methodology in our expression of our religion. Principles are eternal, and principles are universal. So when we talk to our brothers and sisters from whatever faith expression they hail, we must speak to them in a language that does not put them off, but a language that they readily understand. And whenever we talk about Jesus, we are talking about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Make no mistake about it. And whenever we are talking about the Christ, whenever they are talking about the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. We know him, they don't. You see? And so your point, Sister Gidget, is very, very important. Let us speak the language of the people, because language is the avenue by which principle can be inserted in the conversation. So thank you for allowing me to address that. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Thank you. Walaikum salam. All right, so let's talk about effective communication. So, Brother Eric.
Yes.
You know, I know you oftentimes, you post things, but how do you communicate this message effectively?
Well, first of all, sister, we have to have much, much patience when dealing with the lost found and people who have no understanding of Islam or any concept of the nation and what we believe. To a lot of people, it sounds like fanaticism. It sounds like extremism. And they don't have a clear-cut understanding of it. They've been fed so much propaganda through the media and through other sources that their mind automatically goes left as soon as we mention Minister Farrakhan. You watch CNN, and the reporters are constantly, whenever they speak of our honorable minister, they call him a anti-Semite, a racist, extremist, anti-American, and things of that nature. So as soon as you bring his name up, they have a negative reaction. So I have to agree with the brother when he said that you have to get on their bus. You have to speak in a language which they are used to, because most of our people are very accustomed to the Baptist Christian church. So when we start speaking of Jesus and start speaking of the Bible and quoting Bible verses, it opens their mind and their heart to the message instead of putting them off. And that's really the way to do it. But we have to have patience and not be argumentative, because it's really easy to get into a philosophical debate or religious debate when it's Muslim versus Christian or this way. This isn't a competition. That's and we don't want to come off like we're trying to be right and they're wrong. Because as soon as you tell somebody that they're wrong, their defenses are going to come up, and automatically they're going to be put off and not really hear what you're saying. It turns into a debate instead of a discussion and a sharing of information and a sharing of knowledge. So to come correct as far as the patience, the diligence, and understanding that we were once lost also. All praise due to Allah for the brother who, I believe Brother Stallings, who was raised in the nation. I was not. I came to this truth very late in life. The first time I ever watched a minister, it was The Shock of the Hour. That's the video. One of the most stirring videos I have ever seen. I was in my friend's basement, and he put the video on, and I was enthralled. I was walking around for weeks saying, Assalamu alaikum. Didn't nobody know what I was talking about? Everybody looking at me like I was crazy. I didn't even know what I was doing. But it was something that stirred me, and it moved me, and it touched me in a way that I knew I needed to do something different. And I related immediately to the beliefs of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and as given to me by our Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So what I try to do is be as cautious as I can, because we are fishermen. You don't jump into the pool where the fish are and start stomping your feet and splashing the water. You're scared of fishing with it. What you need to do is you put the bait on the hook, and you dangle it out there, and you wait for them to bite. And once they bite, they're hungry for information. You put a little bit of information out there for them. You give them a little bit of knowledge, something that they can grasp onto, that their mind can wrap around. Once you do that, they'll bite. When they bite and they start asking you for knowledge, because most people are lost religiously anyway, they really want something. They want understanding. Our people love God.
Go ahead.
It's who we are. It's the nature of who we are. So once you give them a little bit of understanding, and it's something that makes sense, which is what's really important, is if faith through knowledge, which is what Islam is. So once you give them a little bit of understanding of something that they were so confused about for so long, then they'll bite on it. And once they bite on it, then you reel them in. You don't reel them in fast. You take your time. You slowly reel them in and bring them further and further to the knowledge until they're in the boat. When they're in the boat, they're down at the mosque and bobbing their head and say, go ahead, brother, you know, sitting next to you. And it, you know, all of a sudden you have become a fisherman of men. And I believe that is the best way to go about it.
Yes, sir.
You better teach. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is exactly what I'm talking about, because you never know what you have unless you bring people to the forefront. Brother, it might be a rostrum waiting for you somewhere. You better teach.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Let's hear from Brother Shabazz.
Man.
What about effective communication? What's your approach?
Wow. My approach is basically just talking to people. What I'm saying is, like, for example, sharing the teaching, getting out and hearing the information on the webcast, what's going on lately. And especially from the most recent website.
Okay, I'm sorry, Brother Muhammad, we're having a hard time hearing you. Can you speak up a little bit? Are you there? Okay, I think he might be having a problem with his phone. Yeah, his phone dropped. Okay, come on, Brother Eddie, talk to us. Effective communication.
Well, I'd like to follow up what Brother James says about what the minister had told him. And I think that's very pertinent. You know, the master said, if we follow this, you will promise us money, good home, and friendships in all walks of life. That last point, friendship in all walks of life, that opens the door, you know.
That's right.
I talked to many different people in the different things that I do, including soldiering. And it ranges from the older, devout Christian Baptist to the young brother in the hood. And you have to know how to be a friend to each one of these individuals, you know. The Caucasian was very effective because of his ability to put himself between us and God. So long as he was the way to God, then he was effective because we need God, so we needed him.
That's right.
When we are able to effectively teach, educate, and instill the love of these great men, Jesus, Moses, Abraham, and eventually Muhammad into our people, we have, in a manner of speaking, cut ourselves between them and us, replacing the enemy, if I'm making sense. And in that way,
perfect sense,
we become, as friends to them, we can lead them to the correct understanding of that man.
That's right.
I was talking to one of the Christian family and just talking about Jesus, and I was talking about Jesus, never mentioning yet the Honorable Elijah Muhammad or Minister Farrakhan, but the way I was explaining it made her fully understand Jesus. And as it made her fully understand Jesus, I became a better friend to her, and in time I'm able to make her love and respect what I am as a member of the
That
getting on the bus, figuratively speaking. And I think that's absolutely necessary. But then it's also necessary to just know who we're speaking with. When I'm talking to the brothers in the streets, you know, as a man their age, I'm 24 years old, and as a man their age and a little older than most, because many of us in the hood don't live that long, unfortunately. They like a little bit of cockiness. They like a little bit of toughness, so to speak. So I'll go straight on with, you know, the black man is God, you know, the invincible truth of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because that's what they can respond to. They don't like
weakness.
So what they feel, they don't understand strength yet, so I have to get between them and what they believe strength is, so I can guide them to what true strength is. So I will use the term
you
the
have
heart.
The maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with
And that's pretty much how it is with any of our people, as far as effectively communicating. And, you know, in this broader theme that we're talking about, and I pray I'm not getting ahead, about the blueprint, you know, in getting between our people's idea of these holy men and religion and becoming friends to them and counsel to them, we do lead them. You know, and that effective communication, that communication with the spirit and the hearts of these people. Leonel Mendez Louis Farrakhan said that we are at war for the hearts and minds of the people.
That's right.
And Paul said we war not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And what is the highest place but the human mind? So we have to get into the hearts and minds, be friends to the people. Be the good shepherd, the good husbandman. All of these parables, all they're directing us to is to be friendly to the people. The Bible says to have friends, show yourself friendly. So that's what we're here to do, to be good shepherds and good husbandmen to our people. And when they trust us, then they will trust us and we will have credibility so that anything we introduce to them, like the economic blueprint of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they will take that as good advice. And then they follow us to the man that they should be following, to the point where, you know, hopefully they'll take the reins off and follow him themselves. But we are absolutely that, messengers of the message, and that they may get the message directly from that man. Because really, we're representing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to these people.
That's
to everyone. And so how we relate to them affects what they think of Minister Farrakhan. I want to say this quickly. I don't overtake my time, but there was a particular sister who vehemently did not like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But I was so respectable and such a personable person to her by our submission that she would, over time, slowly, I must say, but over time she was able to accept the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's exegesis of the word because I was a friend to her, you know. And so because of that, I was able to bring her to the man. Now, even though she may
not
always be there, but still it shows that that personality, that personableness, that is required for us to be effective in communicating with our people. As his brother said, master the language, not the language of the word, but the language of the human spirit.
That's right. Beautifully put, brother. That's right.
Yes, sir. And I was trying to get Brother Shabazz back on the phone. I don't know if he was someplace and his battery died and he didn't have his charger. I don't know, but I can't get him back. But I'll keep trying until we get them. So I just want to remind the listening audience, for those of you who have questions for the panelists, if you're in the chat room, please type in your question, and I will ask it on your behalf. For those of you who are calling by telephone, please press 1 on your dial pad, and we will certainly take your question. But in the meantime, since we don't have any questions as of yet, we're going to move on because time is really escaping, and I wish I would have been thinking I would have made this a two-hour show. I have the ability to do that, but I was just sticking to the program because it looked like we're going to need to talk longer on this topic. But I want to get to the meat of the conversation, because I started out with what will we do when all the jobs are gone? And we wanted to focus a little bit on the economic blueprint because, you know, in the black community, the unemployment rate is astronomical. I mean, you know, we're talking about over 50% in most metropolitan cities. And so that is a lot of people unemployed. That is a lot of financial suffering. And it doesn't appear as though the economy is going to turn around. And, of course, as we follow the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, he's telling us that, you know what, you need to get ready for a different way. because this system, this infrastructure, not only economically but financially, educationally, is becoming more and more dysfunctional, and the infrastructure itself is falling apart. So all of the services and all of the pleasures that we may be used to, like now some of us have jobs, we have 401ks, we have insurance, you know. Sometimes some people receive social services, whether it's welfare, food stamps, or whatever it is. All of these things are going to quickly diminish, and those services are not going to be available. And so as we talk about communication, it is so hard to relay the message to someone who's been on their job 10 or 15 years. They're very comfortable. They have all these, you know, incentives, but they don't see the decline. And we were taught to, you know, to see what's going on in the East, because it's eventually going to come to the West. And then we see Americans' foreign policy and how it's impacting the world. But now the Black community in particular is feeling it, how this, you know, America's debt is impacting us, because it's us that's not getting the jobs. It's us that's not, you know, really having the funds and the resources to pursue a higher education. And it is us that is being incarcerated by the tons, and it is us that is dying in the street. We are the ones, it's our babies now that seem to be the target. So either they're going to kill us or they're going to incarcerate us. And, you know, a lot of people don't speak on this, but around the country, there's this massive investment in prisons, whether it's privatized or whether it's state prisons or whatever. There's this growing market for prisons, and so many corporate entities are investing in that. And I'm like, that's a sign to what they plan to do for us, is they have nothing left for us to do. So we have to be found being builders, and we have to be found being gods, because Allah, God, was first a creator. Before he was a savior or anything else, he was a creator. Yeah, he is a creator. So, you know, we have to utilize that God in us to usher in the hereafter. And so I'm going to go to Minister James, because I want you to expound, if you would, on this scripture in Surah 7, verse 34. And please explain to us, as the minister, you know, gave it to us in the series. It says, and every nation has a term. So when its term comes, they cannot remain behind the least while, nor can they precede it. And so, Minister James, if you would expound on that for us, and expound on how vital we need, you know, how vital that is, and how we really, really need to begin to take that verse, and particularly to heart.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sister Gidget. And may I say, you did a wonderful job in your expression of the subject matter.
I'm nervous, and I don't know what, but thank you.
All praise is due to Allah.
All praise due to Allah.
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan shared with us in the 11th installment of the lecture series, The Time and What Must Be Done, that a term is defined as a time period through which something lasts, a period of time to which limits are set. And if every nation has a term, then that nation has a period of time in which, or to which, the limits of their rule are set, their power, and oft times their very existence. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan also shared with us that in Daniel, the 5th chapter, the 7th verse, it references, pardon me, I had a sister kid that wouldn't allow me to turn any more pages. She scared me. So now I got to turn them. May I turn them, dear sister?
Please do. Yes, sir. While you're doing that, I'm going to see if we got our brother on the phone.
Okay, go right ahead.
A bad connection. To disconnect, press 1 to record your message.
Okay.
Well, it talks about in Daniel the king of Babylon being beset by a vision he witnessed, which included a hand writing on the wall in Babylonian language. In Babylonian language, it was tekel, in Farsin, I believe. Mini in Farsin. Tekel, mini in Farsin.
Yeah.
And what it meant was, your kingdom has been weighed in the balance and found wanting.
Wait.
Now, in the revelations of the Bible, it talks about a mystery Babylon. Mystery because, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, there is no city or nation called Babylon in existence today. So the mystery is find a nation in present time that reflects and emulates the nature and behavior of the Babylonians in ancient Babylon. And so we know now today that this is referencing America. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan points to that particular historic scripture and makes us to know that this is a prototype of modern day Babylon. And the fact that her balance or her nation has been weighed in the balance and found wanting. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that justice and righteousness and fair dealing gives a nation and a people its longevity. And so, being weighed in the balance, we need to ask the question, well, what balance? And today, the popular symbol of justice is a blindfolded woman holding a scale with two balances, and on that balance, you have facts as they relate to truth. You have justice as it relates to facts. And so therefore, to be weighed in the balance, bringing it up to a modern understanding, it means that that nation that is reflective of the ancient Babylonian behavior and activity now the balance of justice. And because America has been unjust to the people right in her borders, and of course unjust to the people of the world, she now has been weighed in the balance by the pronouncement of God's judgment coming through the mouth of his current messenger and warner, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Now, since America has been weighed in the balance and found wanting, that means that God is going to destroy her. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan shared with us that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that when a people's money begins to lose value, that is the starting point, the clearest sign of the demise of that nation. Now, the loss of the value of money in America and the outsourcing of manufacturing because of the inordinate greed of corporate America has left the black man and poor whites and Latinos and others virtually jobless. Hence, you have the escalating percentage of unemployment. And so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said many years ago, black man, you must do something for yourself before you are forced to. Well, we're in that period of time, been in that period of time, where we're now forced to do something for self. We're not impoverished necessarily because of the lack of money. We are impoverished because of the lack of knowledge. Therefore, Hosea said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And because we lack knowledge in all fields of life, when we get money, we don't know what to do with it, and we spend it frivolously.
That's right.
And we spend it in a way that does not benefit us as a people. We get trillions of dollars out of the American economy. I mean, literally trillions of dollars every year, I believe.
Right.
We are either the 12th or 13th richest country as compared to other countries in the world. We are the 12th or 13th richest. So it's not that we don't have dollars. It's just that we don't have much sense. And so we have to be wiser in the way that we spend these trillions of dollars coming through our hands. The white man and no man can keep us in economic despair or in poverty. We keep ourselves there out of ignorance and the lack of knowledge of what to do with the monies we receive. Now, there's another component to this. I'll try to go as fast as I can. The other component to this is, yes, we could get the knowledge of how to operate business, how to create this. But there is an essential body of knowledge that must precede the training in business acumen, in business skill, and in business talent. And that body of knowledge must be the knowledge of self. Why is it that when the black man opens up a business in his own neighborhood, and a Jew or Korean or anyone else can come in and open up that same business, and our people will go to the other person other than to that black person selling the same thing? Why is
That's
it,
right.
as it has been popularly said, that we think the white man's ice is colder, or we think other people's sugar is sweeter? It is because we lack the knowledge of self, because within the knowledge of self is self-identification and self-relation. When we identify ourselves as being the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, the God of the universe, and we identify ourselves as being a family, and that all black people are members of the same family, then when we look at each other, deal with each other, we will be motivated not necessarily by dollars and cents or profit or even personal security or the security of our families. We will be motivated by the love that a brother has for a brother and a sister has for the sister. So we must first teach the knowledge of self, and in that rendering of the knowledge of self will emanate the love of self. And by the love of self, when a person then gets the knowledge of how to create business, we who love our brother, who created that business, we'll support our brother. We'll be patient and tolerant with our brother. We'll understand that as a brother and a black man in America, he may not have access to goods and services for such a cheap price like others may have who buy in such bulk. We'll take time with our brother, and we'll do whatever we have to make sure we spend our dollars with our brother. And so, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, a nickel a day out of the working families or the working people in the population of the black nation here in America. It would render $291 million in 1 year. With that money, we can fuel institutions institutions that we are now subject to that are inept institutions and are undergirded with a racial hatred of black people to such degree that there's a great imbalance in how we are treated. There goes that balance again. But nobody can keep us in the condition we're in. We keep ourselves in that condition, and hence the economic blueprint. A nickel a day, $291 million a year in the first year, and that's only dealing with the 16 million or so who are recorded as being employed on one level or another. But what about the children? What about the artists? What about the sports figures? What about those who can contribute much, much, much more than a nickel a day? We got it in our hands,
right,
brothers and sisters.
That's right.
We just have to be obedient to the voice of God in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so I'll stop right there. Thank you, Sister Gidget. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum.
All right. Well, thank you, Brother James, for leaving me behind, because I was going to expound on some of that, but you took my whole program and summed it up in just a very few minutes. But okay, so now I guess it's time for me to be creative and come up with some more questions that you've already answered. But okay.
Oh, praise be to Allah. Oh, my dear sister, you didn't know by now that I have mastered the science of the radio in the head. I read your thoughts.
Yes, sir. But, you know,
all praises due to Allah.
Right.
Okay, but what I really want to talk about with Brother, and I so hate that we lost Brother Brother Shabazz. I don't know what happened. I can't get him back on the phone. But Brother Eric and Brother Eddie, you know,
yeah.
I want to talk about what the messenger said about pooling our resources. And, you know, he said pool your resources physically as well as financially. Stop wanton criticism of everything black-owned and black-operated. And keep in mind that jealousy destroys from within. But, you know, what I found personally, and it could be just me and the circle of people I run with, you know, when the minister gave a speech on Savior's Day pertaining to the economic blueprint, you know, people started looking at this on a very, very wide scale. But I want to remind people, you know, of what the messenger said. He said, if there are 6 or 8 Muslims with knowledge and experience of the grocery business, pool your knowledge, open a grocery store, and work collectively and harmoniously, Allah will bless you with success. And that is the thing. That is my key point for this program today, is the unification of our people, because without unity, people, we can't do anything. It has been long proven in our history that we have so much against us with the policies and procedures of America that singly we can't do anything successfully. We have to pool our human resources. And I want you, Brother Eddie, to speak to that and try to encourage maybe your friends and family who are listening to pool their human resources together so that we can develop something for ourselves. So can you speak to that, Brother Eddie?
Yes, ma'am. I think Brother Minister James said it best, that the knowledge of self is important to that. When you study life science, you learn that the first law of life is self-preservation. Our people do not have the knowledge of self. Our identity has really been replaced by that of the enemy, the slave master's children.
That's
right.
And
I believe it was Solomon who said, be wise, or you sluggard, study the ant.
That's right.
if you ever study ants, there's two particular species. They fall in the general species of black and red ants, but it's very, very intriguing species. This particular species of red ant, what will happen, they don't typically make nests of their own. The red ant will intercept the queen ant of a nest of black ants, devour her, and because ants do not work off sight, they work off scent. In devouring her, she takes on her scent. And the black ants will then use her, or should I correct myself, feed her, take care of her, reproduce her, thinking that they are reproducing their own. You wow. cannot circumvent that law of self-preservation. So all of our resources will be used for whatever we believe our identity is. So our identity is that it's slaves and servants. So we preserve that identity because we have the idea that is who we are, and to lose that identity would be our destruction.
That's right.
We must, as surgeons, psychological and spiritual surgeons, break the tie from that and transplant the original idea, our original identity, back into the hearts of our people. When we have successfully done that, then that natural unbreakable law of self-preservation, that energy will be used to preserve ourselves. So God came to give us the knowledge of ourselves. You know, it's something that the Messengers program only had a nickel day. You know, the enslaved master's children, or really any people on the planet, you know, they protect or fund themselves with a lot more than a nickel a day. But what that shows, that plan, that program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad shows, is that we have so little self-worth, so little connection to our own self, just preserving our own being, that the most that we can work with is a mere 5 cents a day. I believe that's 20% of a whole dollar, you know.
Right.
And that's a shame, you know.
It is.
But that just shows the wisdom of the man who was able to make a plan out of nothing, you know, to take something and make it grand out of nothing. And that's what we have to understand, that we have to transplant the image that we have of ourselves with our proper image of one another. You see,
right.
And we can't even make motion in the right direction until we have that knowledge of self. You know,
right.
When I'm talking to our brothers, I was talking to some brothers, I believe it was this morning before the mosque meeting, me and some soldiers were out trying to get brothers to come out. And it was Saturday after soldiering, and I asked the brother, I said, if I were to ask you who you are, what would you say? And the brother said, I don't know. Another brother said, man, I don't even know. You know, I said, these are not dumb brothers. These are intelligent brothers. These are our people, quick thinking. But they have no answer to when I ask them, or we ask each other, who are you, you know? So who are we preserving? So I'm not going to ask them to support their own. They don't even know who their own is. All we know is we just have to survive in the menial manner that we do. So the
right.
teacher of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that first teacher, you know, Dr. Wesley Muhammad, that great and brilliant mind in the Nation of Islam, said in a speech he gave, I believe it was in Boston, he said that, you know, when he joined the Nation, it wasn't the white man as the devil that excited him. He said, that didn't touch me. But he said the black man as God. Now that was intriguing. That teaching vibrates directly with the spirit of who we are. And when I, by Allah's permission, and we, by Allah's permission, proceed with that teaching, that reverberates the nature in us. And when that teaching leads our efforts, then our people are better off in that healing process of coming back to who we are. And then after coming back to who we are, then we can talk about an economic program. Our job is to produce effective motion in backing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But just the economic program is simple. It speaks for itself. It doesn't need to
That's
be
right.
really explained that deeply. The hard part, the part that we are shouldered with is teaching our people the identity of themselves. So when once that happens, they ask, well, what do we do to help ourselves? Then we bring them the economic program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, so as far as encouraging us, my encouragement is to teach us the knowledge of self, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad so perfectly and eloquently did, does, and as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan eloquently does today. Because without that, no economic program is going to be effective. That money is simply going to go back to our enemy.
Right.
Yes, sir. All right. And Brother Eric?
Yes, sister.
All right. So I want you, if you would, to kind of expound a little bit about the unity of our people and how vital it is that we take our talents and our human and financial resources and come together in small groups, because the messenger said recognize the necessity for unity and group operation. So, you know, again, the message is very clear that there has to be some unity. And how do we get that message across?
Well, first of all, according to the United States Department of Labor, as of March 2013, the unemployment rate for black people was 33.8%. And I'm judging that they didn't really go into the urban areas of Chicago, Los Angeles, and New York and really poll the people who are hit hardest by unemployment. So I'm a guess that's more like 40, 45, 50%, as you had said earlier. Okay. The federal debt is $17.2 trillion, $62 trillion in debt, including Social Security, Medicare, and other entitlements, as the minister said. So what's happening is there's going to be a squeeze when it comes to unemployment, when it comes to getting a job. A lot of our brothers, you know, we say what are you going to do when the jobs go? A lot of them are like, well, we never had jobs in the first place, you know. Mm-hmm. So they've had to struggle and survive and scrape as it was, and when the economy crashes and it becomes a further squeeze, because it's already crashing, but it's going to squeeze tighter. And as it squeezes tighter, we're going to get squeezed out because we're not the job owner. We're not the business owner. So as things get tighter and people get hungrier, who are the white business owners going to hire? They're going to hire their own that are starving and hurting.
That's right.
We don't have enough business owners to really be able to support each other and to bring each other in and say, okay, brother, you work this press. Okay, brother, you work. We don't even have most of us. We have some few that are privileged enough to have education and the skills to be able to support themselves in that type of situation. But regardless what type of skills you have, if we're not the business owners, then we're not going to have those jobs. So that is being done on purpose. That goes back to the prison industrial complex and why prison all of a sudden has become a business. The reason it's become a business is because they know this squeeze is going to come. They know that we're going to fall out the bottom. Yes, a few whites at the bottom, the scragglers, are going to fall with us. A lot of the Latino community or Mexicans, as Brother Abel didn't like the term Latino because of where it comes from, so I'll move away from that. But our brown brothers are going to go there with us, but we're going to fill up the prisons, because what do you do when you don't have money, when you don't have employment, and your baby is hungry? You're going to steal, you're going to rob, you're going to sell drugs, you're going to do all the things that you have to do, unless, which goes back to what you asked me about, we can pool together and pool our resources and our knowledge and work together to create our own community of bartering, our own system of bartering, because we're going to have to move away from the dollar. We're going to have to move away from this currency. We're going to have to come up with our own system, which is why land and farming is such an important thing. When the dollar crashes and there's no money to be used, you know, you're not going to be working on the farm to get paid. you're going to be working on the farm to feed your community. It's going to be about getting out there so that you can bring food home and everybody's working together and doing everything we can as a group to sustain ourselves. Everybody has a position. Everybody has a role. And that's what we need to start thinking on, being able to maintain ourselves outside of what we call today civilization. We will be very civilized because brothers and sisters in the nation and brothers and sisters who have knowledge and understanding through these teachings will always be civilized. But what they call civilization is the buildings, the business, the dollar, the rat race, you know. And I think brothers and sisters who do have a little bit of something are so caught up in the rat race sometimes that they lose focus, that that dollar and that job might not be there. What are you going to do? Those same people who you turned your back on that are unemployed, that don't have anything, you're going to be looking for them because they've been surviving without nothing from the very beginning.
Yes, sir.
So we have to really think about how we go about this. You know, we need brothers and sisters with technical knowledge. When you start talking about doing for self, we need brothers and sisters that are in agriculture, as the minister said so eloquently, Savior's Day 2013. It's all about agriculture. Where are the farmers? We're going to need farmers because we have to eat. That is like the number one for survival. That's the first thing. You have to drink water. You have to be able to drink and attain clean water, and you have to be able to sustain your body. You have to be able to eat.
That's right. That's right.
Which is another reason why we need to eat once a day and prepare our bodies for that, because in a crash like that, you're not going to be able to eat 3-4 times a day.
That's right.
Not to mention the physical effects that has on the body also. But then we're going to need people who understand architecture and building and electric. You know, we might lose electric, you know what I mean? But we still need brothers and sisters to know how to do it in case we have generators or whatever else that might be able to be used at the time. Any construction technologies, anybody that can build something needs to be a part of what we're doing, because once that collapse comes, we're going to have to revert back to what we did basically in Africa. You know, what we did wherever we came from. You know, what we call third world countries who don't survive on dollars, who don't survive in our type of civilization. We have to be able to survive with the bare minimum and get out here with nothing and make something for our community and work together
That's
to
right.
do it. So,
That's right.
And also I wanted to expound on what you asked about. I know we're getting close to the end here, but I wanted to expound on what you said about nation has its term. And I wanted to quote Malachi chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. And it says, "Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Now, this is the very last verse of the Old Testament, leading into the New Testament, which starts off with the genealogy of Jesus. So when it says, remember the law of Moses, it's not saying remember the laws that he brought in Deuteronomy and Numbers. That's not what it's speaking of. It's remember the law under which he was sent. Remember the law under which Moses was sent, which was the 400 years of suffering that the Hebrews were put under by Pharaoh. So when he's saying that, he's referring directly to us, okay, with the 400 years of chattel slavery that we suffered, okay? So remember the law under which Moses was sent. Because because I will send you Elijah the prophet by name, Elijah Muhammad, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is named at the end of the Old Testament, telling us that when the day comes, he is going to be sent under the law of Moses. Now, the only way that people don't understand this or can't see this, because God has always lifted up a man from amongst the people who have gone through that kind of a torture. a warner. So either people think God has changed and God is eternal. Allah does not change. He has no reason to change. His understanding and knowledge far exceeds anything we understand and goes beyond what we can see. So he doesn't need to change or adjust his rules. The rules are still the same as they were then. So either that or you believe that we're not worthy. We're not deserving of God's divine intervention. We're not worthy to be looked in upon, and we're not a people of God. As I said before, the black people in the United States are some of the greatest lovers of God there has ever been, which is why it was so easy to fool us through the slave master's religion, because we were searching for something. And just like the brother said earlier, they came in between us and God and fed it to us the way they wanted to and led us astray. So that being said, if we're under the law of Moses, Egypt was going to fall because of what they did. Egypt went under plagues because of what they did, which is why America is going to come under the plagues for what they did. And what they did was far more savage and brutal. I have the book here, Beyond Sanctuary, and it catalogs the brutality of the lynching and the things that were done to us. When people read the Willie Lynch letter, The Making of a Slave, you know, those things are brutal and unequaled in the annals of history.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do those type of things to a people of God and then think that there's not going to be some type of retribution.
Go ahead.
So, yes, it is, the term is up. You know, on June 15th, 2011, in a press conference to the United Nations, the minister stated, he was speaking about what was going on with Muammar Gaddafi, and he stated then that the grace period is over and that it's time for the plague. Since then, if we've been watching the weather has been out of control. I mean, the hurricanes have hit back-to-back. The tornadoes going through Tornado Alley, the snow in the wintertime, floods down south and along the Mississippi River basin. It's crazy, and it's only going to get worse. So we need to prepare ourselves for the worst and get our minds in the right place to be able to survive without electricity, to survive without the conveniences, the microwave, being able to run to the grocery store. That grocery store is going to be empty. You know,
yes,
so
sir.
If we don't have the mindset to be able to survive and get together as a community to protect ourselves, because it's going to be a savage time. People are going to turn against each other. People are going to do whatever they have to do to survive. So we have to be able to come together as a community to protect each other, to feed each other, to clothe each other, and to take care of each other if we're going to survive through the tribulation that is speaked about in Revelation.
Yes, sir, and thank you, Brother Eric. Yes, sir. And we're down to the last 8 minutes. And, you know, I just want to say that, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad stated that we have assisted in our own condition, and we're talking about our economic condition, because unemployment, of course, is worse in our community. Even our health, even the foods that we eat and the diet that we have conformed to, we are in the worst condition of any people in this country. And so when the minister speaks on the tail being the head at some point, you know, I don't want people to think spookism that is just going to automatically come. There has to be a mindset. There has to be a rebirth of the spirit and a rebirth, reversion back to the nature in which you were created. And this is the mindset and the elevated thinking that we as a people have to get in if we're going to survive. You know, it's gonna be a very detrimental time that when you see, you know, you got to see the wall fall down before you start to stand up. And that is a very critical and very dreadful time. And so the minister is so graciously warning us of this time and what we need to do as a people to survive what America is going to suffer. And he says that every nation is going to be called to their record. And so we're going to give the floor back to Minister James for the last few minutes before we close out. And Minister James, if you would, I want you to speak very directly about requital and what that really means, but not for America itself and not for white people in particularly, but for black people who fail to hear the message. And those of you, whether you're Christian, whether you're Buddhist, whatever, I don't care if you don't like Minister Farrakhan. But I would challenge any one of you to point out anything to me that he has said in his series or even in his tenure in the Nation of Islam that has been incorrect and that has been unproven. Because everything that he has said and everything that he says, it makes perfect sense. And so even if you don't like the messenger, please adhere to the message itself. Separate the man from the message if that's what you have to do. But I don't want to see our people suffer because we are so divided by faith and we are so divided by culture and we are so divided by class. Because at the end of the day, we're going to all be in the same boat. As Brother Eric expressed, that
that's
the
right.
Dollar is not going mean anything. It's not going to even be here. So, Brother James, I'm going to ask you if you would quickly speak to requital for our people and what does that mean?
Well, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the last broadcast, this one and last week, gave us the definition of requital. Denotatively, that is to say, in the dictionary, it is defined as the act of requiting, a return or reward for service, kindness, etc. A retaliation for a wrong, injury, etc. Something given or done as repayment, reward, or punishment in return. And this applies not only to nations, but it applies to individuals. It is not only what we get in return for what we do, but it is also what we miss as a result of what we don't do. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has caused us to understand that we have no more hope in this world, no more hope in America to do for us what we should and could with unity do for ourselves. So we will be requited by the condition that you see currently prevalent in the black community. That is poverty, lack of employment, underemployment, imprisonment, all of what we see happening. Yes, the enemy has his hand in it, and it is of his design. However, the success of his plan is as a result for our unwillingness to do what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to do since 1933, what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been telling us to do now near 60 years, what all honest and truthful leaders have come to the black community and tried to get us to do, and that is to unite our resources. Be obedient first and foremost to God. I want to close with these words as I was listening to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in his historic message, Savior's Day message of 1995, entitled Jesus Saves. He stated, and I quote, "To the degree that we discipline our lives according to the teachings we have accepted, it is to that same degree that Master Farad Muhammad, the Savior, can save us." So we can't talk anymore. We've got to live it. We've got to do. Jesus said, "Be ye doers of the word." He didn't say be. In fact, he said, "Don't be hearers of the word. Be ye doers of the word." And therefore, how are we going to be requited if we continue to ignore these divine warnings? We're looking at it right now. We don't have to go deeply into the exegesis of any scripture, either Bible or Quran. Just look at your pocket. Look at your family. Look at the conditions under which we live. This is the day of requital. Each will reap what we have sown. And I'll close there, Sister Gidget. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much. And, you know, I really hate that I did not extend this program for 2 hours because there's just so much more I wanted to talk about. But, you know, by Allah's permission, we are on 7 days a week. And Brother Eric and Brother Eddie, please know with the surety that I have a rule, and Brother James can bear witness to the rule, that once you come on here, you can't just come
back.
That's
right.
You have to come back.
That's right.
I would be honored to come back.
Yes, sir. Well, we would be honored to have you on any of our shows. I'm sure Brother James would love to have you on Study Group on Friday night because
that's
he
right.
wants people to call in and participate. And all of you who are in the chat room and on the phones, I appreciate, I love you. But I want y'all to ask questions because we are responsible for getting this message out. And so you not asking questions, it is my prayer that we have answer questions that you had in your mind or on your heart, and we just pray that Allah will, you know, continue to bless us and give us what He wants us to have to give to you. So again, I want to thank Brother Muhammad Shabazz, even though he got disconnected. I thank him for his willingness to participate. I so hate we didn't get him back on, but of course we'll get him on another show. Brother Eric, it was my honor, it was my privilege and pleasure to have
That's
you
right.
on. And Brother James,
thank you
once again and again and again and again for being so profound with the information that you gave us on this topic today. And so please join us. Yes, sir. Join us tomorrow with our host, Brother Kareem, on Conscious Black Nation. He's going to have us talking about alternative networking. I'm interested to find out what that's about. We're going to have a rebroadcast on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Brother Jihad is in the hospital recovering from surgery, so let's lift him up in prayer. And also there is a National Believers meeting, which we never broadcast on that night. On Wednesday, join us for DJ Black Caesar and Friends. That's our hip-hop comedy show. On Thursday, I will be back. I don't know what I'll be back with. I don't know. People want me to pick up back up on the Naked Woman, so I guess it'll be the Naked Woman again. And, of course, Brother James, who has so graciously joined me today, will be back on Friday. We'll put on the new man, and he's going to go further into the series, The Time of What Must Be Done. And next Saturday, join us for Young, Gifted, and Black as the Nation of Islam hip-hop artists gather together and display their artistry. And next Sunday, inshallah, our brother Vernon Muhammad out of Columbia, Maryland, will be back with No Romance Without Finance, and I hope I substituted well in his place. And I guess by the listening audience, I guess I didn't do too bad because they didn't hang up on us. So all praise is due to Allah. Again, thank you.
All praise is due to Allah.
Yes, sir. Again, thank you, Brother James, Brother Eddie, and Brother Eric. One nation, one love. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Brothers.
Sir.